That was Larry Colmus with the call of the Jim Dandy just a few weeks ago right here at the Spa. Good Samaritan making his dirt debut that afternoon. I think it's safe to say, JT, that was a success.
Yeah, absolutely. overwhelming victory. Very nice horse. I mean, Good Samaritan, he's a solid horse. He was cross-centered, right, Elliot, in the Breeders' Cup, Juvenile Breeders' Cup turf. Unfortunately, horrible trip in the turf race.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, he got hurt, had to take a little chip out, so he missed the Triple Crown. And the plan, we went back and forth on whether to run him in the dirt there or run him on the turf there because he was going to be the favorite and then get him on the Triple Crown trail the next spring. And then our plans got averted, and here we are today, though. We're happy to be here.
All those adjustments that you have to make as a racing manager, talk about that a little bit, how you have a plan and then something happens, you got to readjust.
Yeah, you got to adjust. And I think it's, that's life, though. And then, you just make the best decision you can make at the time. And sometimes you're right and sometimes you're wrong. But we did want to get him on the dirt. And you know, after we had to adjust, the Belmont Derby was a big race that, you know, was right in front of him. And so we kept him on the grass. He ran Derby Day, actually. It was his first start of the year. And then he came back and ran in the Pennine Ridge and then the Belmont Derby. And then we were going to either run him in the Jim Dandy or the Travers. But his dirt was going to be the next start.
That's Elliot Walden's voice that you're listening to. He's the president, CEO, and racing manager of Windstar. Good Samaritan will be racing in the Windstar white and green colors later this afternoon in the 148th Travers Stakes. Elliot, you come at this a little bit different as a racing manager because you've been on the other side of the fence. You've trained horses for many years. So when you have a Hall of Fame trainer like Bill Mott and you start to have these conversations about, well, do we try him on the dirt? Do we not try him on the dirt? What's that conversation like? How's it go?
It's good. I mean, I think that, the nice thing about the relationships that I have with our trainers, whether it's Todd Pletcher, Bill Mott, Bob Befford, is, you know, we were competing at one time. And so I think that there's a bit of a level of comfortability with my opinion and their opinion and respect. And so it goes real well.
Share your thoughts on that Jim Dandy performance.
Well, it was great. It was what we were hoping for. Until you do something, I've had people ask me, did I know he was going to do that? No, I didn't know he was going to do that. We had hoped he was going to do that. And you know, there were signs that said he could. He's by Harlan's Holiday out of a Pulpit Mare. He's not an English Channel or a Kitten's Joy or, you know. So he's bred for the dirt. He started on the turf here last year just because we wanted the ground, wanted a mile, a two-turn race. Then he ran well. Then he ran well in the summer. And so you get into a pattern where you don't want to change what's not broken. But we hoped he would run like that, and his works were good. He's a very typical two-turn type horse, workhorse. He's not a fast gonna wow you in the morning, but he was very steady. So you know, it was something that we hoped would happen. Wasn't exactly sure, but it was just real exciting down the stretch to see him just mow him down. So it's gonna be fun to see the rematch. It's a great race. It really is. You could go 8 or 9 different ways in this race.
Yeah, I think ideally you'd want to have all of them on your pick four ticket.
Because
it's hard to come up with a horse. I mean, you can do your best handicapping, and you're not going to be right a lot of the times in a race like that. So you really firmly believe it wasn't a one-off that the Jim Dandy just set up for him, that you think he can go on the dirt and be a serious dirt horse from now?
I do. Uh-huh. I do. I mean, to be realistic about things and objective, because you have to be about your own horses or you won't get very far in this game. He's got to do it again. You know, he did have things his way he had 6 pounds from Cloud Computing and Always Dreaming. There were 4 of them kind of battling up there, and he was the one that was just kind of taking it easy and breathing. And so he's got to put that performance back. But the way that he did it, the one thing I would say that didn't really work for him was the pace wasn't that fast. So it's not like they went super fast and the race just fell apart. They were going 48 and change. So that's not, you know, I remember being here with Victory Gallop in the Travers, and We were just third in the Haskell, kind of set up for the Travers, was favored, I think, in the Travers. And Coronado's Quest goes 113-4. I just sat down. I could not believe it. I mean, that is like standard bread time. And we got beat a neck.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Yeah.
And so, I hope that the pace is solid enough today, but it doesn't look like it's very fast on paper.
When it's Monday morning after the gym, Dandy, and you're sitting down analyzing the race, I'm assuming this is what you do. And how do you set yourself up to be dispassionate about it coming off that victory, and now you're going to analyze it and decide what move you might want to make, what you're going to talk to Bill about? How do you set yourself up to put all the
emotion,
BS, so to speak, out of the picture and then concentrate on your horse?
Well, the move before the race was the real conversation. I mean, after you win the Jim Dandy, as long as the horse is healthy, your next move is made for you. You know, you're coming to the Travers.
Yep.
So, you know, as long as the horse is doing well and stuff like that. I guess the interesting thing is we were originally going to wait for the Travers because – he had run back in, had a kind of steady pattern of races from Derby Day to the Pennine Ridge to Belmont Derby Day, which was, I think, a week after the Belmont or maybe 2 weeks. I'm not sure. But there was, he's packed four races in a pretty tight amount of time because then he came back in 3 weeks in the Jim Dandy. So the only concern I have is now we're 4 weeks. So is he got enough time? We were thinking 7 weeks from the Belmont Derby and running the Travers because we knew the mile and a quarter wouldn't be a problem. So we did jump in the Jim Dandy, and the reason we did that was because it was a short field, first time on dirt, not having a lot of dirt in his face. Thought that would, and he got all the weight. So, hopefully he didn't run his Travers race in the Jim Dandy and he bounces today, which some people think he might.
Well,
I don't really think so.
I guess that if he doesn't win the Travers, let's say he does regress and Good Samaritan doesn't win today, I guess he'd be cheering for the Derby winner?
Yes. And I think we've got a little bit of a ham and egg situation going on there because I do think that he's going to run very well today. I know a lot of people are thinking he won't, but I think he's going to run well. I've watched him train, and I think Todd was very easy on him going into the Jim Dandy on purpose, and he said today's his goal, and so he and it was a demanding racetrack, which he said today's a different type racetrack. He's exactly right. That first week, the track was very difficult for
meaning what
that.
Meaning deep slow,
demanding,
tiring,
demanding. Yeah.
Okay,
and so Always Dreaming had only had three or four works, and so I think that he's set up to run very well today, especially if they let him loose on the lead, which, I don't know if he'll be on the lead, but he'll be close. He'll be one of the ones either lead or stalking. So, his last two works, he's actually sat off a horse. And so I think he's set up to run real well today.
Always Dreaming, of course, a son of Windstar Stallion Bodie Meister. And we're talking with Elliot Walden, the president, CEO, and racing manager of Windstar here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Talk a little bit about American Anthem, who goes postward in the Alan Jerkin Stakes.
Well, he's doing great. And I just went and saw him, and he's ready to go. So we're real excited about him. He's had, the time off from Belmont Day when he won the Woody Stevens. Thought about running him in the Haskell. Came down to, that's kind of one of those other decisions, And basically, I think, you ask about the relationship with the trainers and stuff. I have enough respect for all those guys are Hall of Famers. I'm not. So if it's a coin toss or it's a tie, they win the tie. So Baffert, Bob decided he didn't really want to run him in the Haskell the last minute. Like, he was going, he wasn't going, he was going, and then he said, let's just wait. And I said, that's fine. So we're fresh. He's ready to go. I hope he runs as good as he did in the Woody Stevens, and I think he'll be very competitive if he does.
You got a great post. And Baffert's won the Haskell so many times. If he tells you not to go, you kind of have to respect that, right?
That's right, because he wants to win it again. He knows what it takes, too, right?
Yeah, six wins does he have in the Haskell? I think it's six.
It's ridiculous. He's had so much success in that race. Elliot, you mentioned Victory Gallup, who was second to Coronado's Quest in 1998. You also had, the following year, Ecton Park and Menifee come back in the Travers Stakes. They were fourth and third, respectively. Menifee third, Ecton Park fourth. That year was kind of like this year, where it was a wide-open three-year-old division. If a horse like Good Samaritan, let's say, jumps up and wins, we've talked about this at the top of the show, does he all of a sudden move into that three-year-old championship picture?
Absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't crown him the three-year-old champion, but he'd have to be. And the reason is that everybody's beating each other. So if he comes and he is 2 for 2 on the dirt and does it in a positive way, you got to throw him in there with the rest of them. Because, I mean, nobody's really established themselves as the leader. You know, you come in here and there's three different classic winners in the race, and that's what makes it a competitive field. That's what makes it the depth of this field is what makes this year's renewal unique. You know, some years you have a superstar, and some years you have a really good race, and I think that's what this year's is.
Do you ever regret not sticking with training? You see all these great horses, and you go, man, I could be training all these suckers.
Yeah.
Does that do you ever think about that?
No, I mean, yeah, not really, because, I mean, we're so involved. I mean, you know, I mean, I think if you asked, you know, the top 20 trainers, you know, there'd probably be 3 or 4 that said, yeah, I'd rather do this. But there might be 15 of them that say, I'd like your job.
You know? So, yeah, who wouldn't like your job?
So, I mean, I've got a great job.
Well, but I guess, too, once you go through some of those near heart attacks with Victory Gallop, I guess maybe that cures you of wanting to be in it, too, right?
Yeah. Well, I feel the same whether training or running Windstar and the team that we have behind Windstar. And it's fun to, you know, they care about it. That's one thing I have learned is the guys who are at the farm and they're breeding and foaling them out, and they care as much about those horses winning as a trainer does. You know, it's you get that attachment and you get that feeling of accomplishment when your horses do well, and it carries not only just the training stable, it carries all the way back to when the guy who knew that. You know, I had the night watchman, Adrian, the other day tell me, you know, if Good Samaritan wins, that's going to be his fourth grade one winner he's foaled in the last 3 years. You know, so,
wow.
I mean, it's just they're watching. Everybody's watching. And you know, getting texts from people on the farm, good luck today. You know, they wish they could be here, but they're watching with the same pride and the same. Because it is a passion to this business. And it doesn't matter if you're the head trainer like Bob Baffert or Todd Pletcher or Bill Mott or the groom or the hot walker or the guy who folds the horses. That's what you're in it for.
Yeah, well said. Elliot Walden with Windstar Farm with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Elliot, really do appreciate the time, my friend. All the best today with all the Windstar horses and the horses that are by the Windstar Stallions. I mean, there's so many interests that you're going to have in each and every race. So good luck. Keep it rolling and continued success, my friend.
Bill Mott was razzing us this morning because Bill will he'll train most of his horses on race day, where Todd would walk them and Bob actually walks them. So, you know, you got two different ways to skin the cat. But we were all over there watching Good Samaritan train this morning at 6 o'clock, and, you know, he kind of razzed me and said, well, how come you weren't over at the other side watching Mohican, who's in for maiden 40 in the last? You know? He said, you all leaving. I said, let me tell you something. I don't think we're going to be here for Mohican. He goes, we might need him at the end of the day. You know, he might be the get-out horse.
That's right.
I said, that's true. Yeah, we might need Mohican.
Something to salvage today. Yeah,
that's
right?
Exactly. That's the way this game is,
yeah.
Especially on these days.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't expect to win. I mean, it's a Breeders' Cup day.
Yeah. Right.
It's a huge day.
Yep.
And their weather's fantastic, so you all have a great day.
Yeah. You too.
Well said, my friend.